Welcome back. We're delighted to have as our guest for the remaining portion of Straight Talk, the Senator-elect from the 27th Senate District, Alan Lowenthal. Alan, welcome back to Straight Talk.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, Art.
This is Alan's last show as an assemblyman. He will be sworn in shortly, and therefore he is Senator-elect, and this will be your first interview as Senator-elect.
Good. Yeah. Actually, when this show comes out on the air, I will already be a senator.
Now, Alan, we know each other for over 30 years. And share with our viewers the very important advice I gave you a long time ago when you were thinking of running for city council.
Well, when I first thought about running for city council against Councilmember Wallace Edgerton, as you remember, and I had worked for Wally, and you had worked for Wally, and you're a friend, and he had been on the council for about 17 years, and I decided to run against him.
Against my friend.
And you counseled me. You told me that there was no future in this. This was in 1991, that I could not win that race. I was wasting my time, and I should go back to the classroom.
Alan and I were colleagues. He, for 28 years, is a psychology professor. I still teach, as many of our regular viewers know, at Long Beach State. Alan, of course, won, served very admirably for 6 years on the city council, then elected to the state assembly, served 6 years in the state assembly. Term limits required him to move. He ran for Senate and won, and congratulations.
Thank you, Art. Yeah. Thank you.
Another little personal story. Not personal, but you'll love this story. Alan is now going into the Senate, and he has a assembly office with assembly furniture. Well, the furniture belongs to the assembly, and they were going to have to come with a moving van at our expense, taxpayers' expense, take that furniture out and move Senator Benny Carnett's furniture, because she's going into the assembly. And all of this at taxpayer expense. Well, sometimes government acts rashly, and they're going to let you keep your assembly furniture because you're staying in your office.
That's right.
It's going to turn from an assembly office to a Senate office.
That's right.
With the same furniture, which
same
the assembly
furniture.
Is going to loan for another 4 years.
That's exactly right.
Sometimes
it works.
Sometimes it works. Well, Alan, just give us a sense of your feelings as you embark on these larger responsibilities. We've had a recall of a governor. We have the new Governor Schwarzenegger, who's trying to reach out
right.
to the moderates. You
right.
certainly have been among the moderates trying to bridge the gap. But what do you see the next year bringing in up in Sacramento?
Well, we still have a major budget crisis. And the governor and the legislature last year patched together something to really get through the last year. And we will see what happens this year. The major issue will be how can we both move California forward and be fiscally responsible at the same time. And the governor, in preparing for this, spent the latter part of the last session convening a group of people together, which came up with what was called the California Performance Review. And I think what we're going to see and what the role of the California Performance Review was to make recommendations back to both the governor and the legislature in terms of how we can have a more efficient and more effective state government. And so we will be seeing that in the first 60 to 90 days to see whether we can redo government and to make it more effective, work better for its citizens, get rid of unneeded commissions, keep those that are necessary, consolidate departments. We're already seeing some consolidation already begin, and I think that will have a major impact upon the state.
As you know, many feel that the legislature was even more unpopular than the former governor, and if there had been an opportunity to recall the entire legislature en masse at the same time as the governor was recalled, most people say that would have passed overwhelmingly. One of the problems is the extreme liberal Democrats and extreme conservative Republicans creating gridlock. And one of the reasons, in my view, for the gridlock is the gerrymandered districts.
Right.
Your seat is an exception, perhaps, but most seats are very safe.
Right.
And what can we do about removing the gerrymandering problem from the control of the parties?
Well, that's an excellent question. And because you're right, it really, what had happened was that Well, let me step back and explain that every 10 years, once the census comes out, so for us it was in the year 2000, 2001, the state goes through a redistricting process. And really what we learn first is whether California will, and just as other states, will gain or lose congressional seats. And then we do the state legislature. So the state legislature actually redistricts the congressional seats.
And they have an interest in drawing all the seats safe.
And that's what happened.
The incumbents' Full Employment Act.
Well, what happened was is both the National Republican Party and the National Democratic Party did not want in 2001 California to be in play. So they determined, and they put tremendous pressure on the state legislature to protect the congressional seats as they were. In doing so, the model that was drawn from the congressional seats became the model that was used for the Senate and Assembly seats. So, for example, the seat that I'm now in, the 27th Senate seat, used to be a harbor district seat. It used to go from Palos Verdes Peninsula through San Pedro, Long Beach, Wilmington, up through north of Long Beach through Lakewood, Cerritos, and so forth. Now it extends even further that way. They changed that because they had changed, and when they had done the gerrymandering with the congressional district. And so we have some real problems.
So you overwhelmingly beat your opponent, right? Because it's a Democratic senatorial district.
Well, let me get back to that. I also won very big in Long Beach with winning a tremendous number of Republican also votes. So, After it came out in 2002, especially the congressional seats and the Senate seats, which were the most gerrymandered, I did not support that. And then after the governor, the recall of the governor, and Governor Schwarzenegger came in, I joined with six other Republicans and six other Democrats to join a group called the Bipartisan Group to see how we could...
You had something that was going to go on the ballot, and then there was some deal that pulled that back.
Right, and I introduced, as the lead author from the Bipartisan Group, Assembly Constitutional Amendment 19, which called for an independent commission...
Okay, are you going to reintroduce that
absolutely.
As a senator?
Absolutely. We will. There'll be others that'll be introduced.
So that would take redistricting away from the parties and put it
where? In the hands of an independent commission to
okay.
do the redistricting.
Amen to that.
Right. We'll see
okay.
what happens.
We'll be back. I know what's going to happen now. Commercial time.
Aha.
We're back continuing our conversation with Senator-elect Alan Lowenthal. Alan, as you know, the port, of course, is a central economic generator. It's in your it was in your assembly district. It was in your council district.
Right.
It was in your assembly district. And
right.
Since you and the port are wedded, and you've introduced a number of pieces of legislation with regard to mitigating environmental impacts,
right.
such as the truck idling bill. And most recently, the No Zero Growth Initiative.
No net increase
no
in
net
pollution.
No net growth. I'm sorry, no net increase in pollution,
right.
which has passed or not passed?
No, that passed the legislature and was vetoed by the governor.
Are you going to reintroduce that as a senator?
Yes.
And the basic concept is we know that ports have to grow, but as they grow and they have an obligation to mitigate the additional environmental impact so that there's no net increase
in pollution
from the base year,
right.
which is now,
right.
basically.
That's right.
And
we have a public health crisis in terms of diesel emission. It's not the port's fault. And many things are difficult for the port to control, such as the emissions from ships, although they're beginning now to do the plug-in.
Cold ironing.
Trains and the thousands and thousands of trucks that are old diesel trucks. Remember, the problem with diesel is that it works so well, and those
sure.
trucks last for millions of miles.
So this would put additional pressure on the port to mitigate.
That's right.
And the whole transportation community.
And the entire transportation community. And the state to
and
come
state.
Up with.
And I think the idea of 24-hour gates is so rational.
That's right.
To help remove these trucks from peak hour traffic.
We are the only major ports in the world that do not have extended gate hours, 24 gate hours, as standard operating procedures. Now, we will become the first ports, both the port of Long Beach and Los Angeles, in North America to do this. But ports in Europe and in Asia already
have. And it's a complicated thing because there are a lot of players in the transportation puzzle, and you have to get the receiving warehouses
to keep
their gates open, and you have to economically incentivize people to do that.
That's right.
But we're obviously not going to be building more freeways in the foreseeable future. We don't have the money. And to just better utilize the existing freeways, because at 2 a.m., the traffic isn't so bad, and those trucks could be going at that time.
And they wouldn't be idling on the freeway.
And they wouldn't be idling.
And see, that's the problem.
So there's a double benefit.
So it's
less traffic for commuters going to work, and less pollution.
Right.
So let's do it.
Well, we are going to do it. We worked on that, and the industry. I had introduced a series of bills while I was in the Assembly. One was to stabilize the traffic congestion by saying the state is going to put in its own system of extending those gate hours. We're going to collect fees during the daytime, and we're going to use those fees to promote rail use, and trucks will not have to pay those fees if they go at night. The private sector, the terminal operators, stepped up to the plate and created their own system.
Right.
And that's what's so wonderful. And I pulled that legislation in because I said, if you do that...
Sure, you wanted them to do it.
I don't want you to. And so we will see Peer Pass going into effect this January, which is the extended gate hours and the first time in North America that that
Congratulations. Port security is of concern to all of us.
Yes.
The port has to be a prime terrorist target. We saw what happened during the lockout, where the boats were backed up and 18-wheelers, 16-wheelers parked all over town. And $15 billion a month coming in through the port. And the federal government has not given our ports enough support.
Right. One of the nice things that is occurring, though, now and is that we saw both in the lockout and we just saw now with 90 ships out at sea and our ports can only handle 50 or so at any given time, how vitally important these ports are to the nation's well-being.
Well, we have to secure them better.
And one way of doing that is to get the attention of the national government. And the Maritime Administration this month is opening up their first West Coast office right here in Long Beach. And so that they will watch and see what's
Let's hope and pray that we don't have to have a tragedy call attention to
this. Right. Because unfortunately, with the exponential growth, we now have 13, 14 million containers a year coming through. We inspect less than 6%.
It's all. Alan, we just have 2 minutes left. I want to take the time to give you a chance to just give some personal reflections on your service in Assembly and what your personal goals are as you embark on these important new challenges in the Senate.
Well, first I have to thank the citizens of Long Beach and the 27th Senate District for giving me this opportunity to serve the people. Like you, I'm a college professor. Never spent my life really teaching in the classroom, being involved in my community, giving to my community. And I saw this as running for office as just an extension of the volunteer work that I do as a citizen. It's been a wonderful experience. I will continue. I think this what I bring to the legislature as a community psychologist, a person that's interested in solving problems, is bringing people together. And I'm going to continue to do that, whether it's a member of the bipartisan group, whether it's bringing the business community and the environmental community together to solve our problems in the ports, whether it's protecting local government revenues, and that's why I was honored by the League of California Cities. It's always the idea that while it's nice to stake out turf, it's much better and more important to solve these problems. And that's the role that I play. And I'm going to continue to do that.
Well said. And you know, Alan, the tagline of our television show is that each of us can make a difference. And you certainly have made a difference.
Warren.
And wish you and your family a very happy holidays and every success in your new efforts.
Thank you, Warren. And I wish everyone the same who are watching the show a prosperous and a peaceful year, and I pray for all the soldiers that defend our freedom. That's really why we're here.
Amen to that. Thank you all for joining us, and please be with us next week for the next edition of Straight Talk. Good night, everyone.
Straight Talk has been brought to you by Southern California Edison and other fine sponsors. Support the quality sponsors who support Straight Talk.